Welcome into another. I decided to do another double episode. These are fun. These are fun. Don't at me. Welcome into a very special edition of Sports Club Board Check right here on the 23rd day in the year 2019, the month of May. Main event. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Welcome in. We're not that far away from our actual time. Shocker, right? But anyway, lots of things we want to get into. If I remember, I have it wrote down. I got a little bit into it on Twitter and Facebook. If you follow me earlier this week, something I'm digging that I think you guys could maybe get into. But we're also I'm gonna start off talking hockey. But yeah, I'm actually gonna get to the NBA. I got it wrote down. I got some golf, got some men's basketball news, NFL news, some things are going on, some things I've said before, but I was reminded of it earlier, so I wanted to bring it back up. I'm going to talk to Atlanta United as well. Hopefully you guys are all having a good week. Got the holiday weekend coming up. Maybe you're going to grill out. Maybe you go to a body of water. Maybe you just going to stay home and chill. That's never a bad thing. But either way, hopefully you have a great time, whatever you're doing. You know, always try to make the most of your day, no matter how good or bad it is, and never let the day defeat you. Never let the day defeat you. It can try all it wants. You know, Mondays can be Mondays sometimes. Sometimes just everything in the world happens to feel like it's against you. But just know that every day, never let the day defeat you. That's something I always preach. And hopefully you guys do too. Now, titled this one Main Event. Why would I call this Main Event? Well, because the NHL is about to start their main event, otherwise known as the Stanley Cup Finals. I don't know if it's finals or final. It's only one final. But anyway. And who made it? Not the two teams I picked. It's really put me in an interesting spot because I had some cool ideas for some little gentleman's wagers, and each one of these teams kind of dug a little something into those, so I may have to do something else. But no, the NBA final, I mean, not the NBA, the NHL finals are going to be between the St. Louis Blues in the West, as they went past the Sharks and the Sharks just—I don't know what happened. But instead of saying the Sharks didn't play well and that's what cost them, I'm going to say the Blues outplayed them because the Blues absolutely won more than the San Jose Sharks lost. Now it's a decent combination of the two, but it just between the injuries and everything else, it just seems like it just didn't add up for San Jose. They had a fantastic season. If nothing else, the things that we learned about San Jose is Martin Jones is a top-tier goalie, which most of us knew. And for those of you under a rock, Logan Couture is a top-level NHL. Absolutely. He is a grinder. He is an elite scorer. He is in that top echelon with the Ovechkins, with the Crosbys. You know, he is a goal scorer, and he is right there with them, in my opinion. But the thing we also learned is that San Jose is going to start their off season a lot quicker than a lot of us thought. And that's, in fact, that's due to the fact that the St. Louis Blues scorched them. They absolutely scorched them. Instead of letting that crazy call, the phantom hand pass, no call at the end of, was that game three, game four, whatever it was, and instead of letting that get them down, they didn't, because they rebounded. That was game three. And the Sharks went up 2-1 at that point and never won another game. Three in a row for St. Louis. Game four was a nail biter, 2-1. Game five, 5-0 over the Sharks. At that point, I knew it was over. And not because they just needed one more win. The Sharks just were empty. You could tell they're just hanging on. It wouldn't have mattered how many more games were left. The Sharks weren't going to win any of them. Not at all. But congratulations to the Blues. I'm not the world's biggest Blues fan. I tell you guys that. I like them better than Buffalo, but that's not saying much either. But no, St. Louis, a team that last went to the Stanley Cup Final 49 years ago. And it's funny because who did they play 49 years ago in the Stanley Cup Finals? Let's think about it. Oh, wait, they got swept. Yep, 4-0 by Bobby Orr and the Boston Bruins, a.k.a. the Eastern Conference representative after Boston completely Shermanized the Carolina Hurricanes. And you know, I talk about the Hurricanes on here. We cover the Hurricanes on here. We are fans of the Hurricanes. They are one of the main teams we really go out of our way to talk about. They just hit the buzzsaw that was the Boston Bruins. Marchand was scoring. Marchand was a pest. It didn't matter. Boston was just a step ahead the entire time, 4-0, straight all the way through. In fact, the deciding game from Thursday, 4-0, absolutely just torched them, just torched them. I said just General Sherman, everything, just yeah. And like I said, once again, was it Carolina not playing up to par? A little. There was a couple injuries here and there. But I'm not, you know, don't want those excuses. And it's just Boston was that matchup that Carolina just could do nothing with, no matter what they. And then it just looked like tired legs towards the end, just like San Jose was. But congratulations to the Boston Bruins. Congratulations to the owners of the Buttered Udder ice cream and coffee place, just a town over from where we're at currently out here at Impact Media West Studios. Congratulations. They're both from Boston. And just take this into effect before we get into any more hockey. The reigning, defending, undisputed champion of football right now is the New England Patriots. Okay, where are they at? Foxborough. Where's Foxborough? Well, it is right outside of Boston. So there's football. You go to baseball. Who is the reigning, defending, undisputed World Series champion? Well, that'd be the Red Sox, and they play in Boston. So baseball and football. Tom Brady said it'd be real great if they won all four major ones. I mean, there's an off chance that they could actually win soccer as well. Because, I mean, New England Revolution have some issues, but they're about to bring in a big-name coach, and he'll shake some stuff up. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But the likelihood that I think Boston is favored in this series, honestly. If it is, probably a 60-40. But there's a chance the Bruins could win the Stanley Cup. Well, that only leaves basketball. That only is basketball, right? How are the Celtics doing? Let that one sink in for a minute. And we got grass cut around here or something. I feel like Stone Cold. I've also known his podcast. Every time I listen to a podcast, the grass cutters are all out. But yeah, it might hear there in a second. No. How are the Celtics doing, as I said? Well, they have bowed out. If I can get this thing to load. Here, this is great radio, I know. Here we go. They bowed out. Right now it is down to the Warriors in the West, which we'll talk about this in a minute, and the winner of the Bucks and Raptors in the East. But no, how close was Tom Brady to getting that to work? Pretty dang close. But I do say so myself. Which I do. Just think about that. When's the last time we saw one city dominate like that? No personal, but it sure didn't happen here in Atlanta. I can't think of a time when New York would have done it or anybody else. L.A., no. If the 49ers were better, you could consider Golden State and the 49ers maybe, but, I mean, you know, they don't – because you could say San Jose for hockey. I mean, they got close. I guess you could say Oakland, but no, it's you got to give it up. You got to give props and at least respect the city of Boston for, at this point, almost winning every championship. I mean, that's quite the accomplishment. I'll give it to them for that. But that was just a little sidebar. Just wanted to throw that out there and just give them props and proper respect, you know? But we get the St. Louis Blues and we get the Boston Bruins. Boston, we know a lot of the characters, so to say. You know, Charizard, Zdeno Chara. He's like the new Nicholas Lindstrom in that he has been around for a long time. He is the tenured seasoned veteran. Every time he's on the ice, he scares the crap out of everybody, mainly because of his physical nature now. Nicholas Lindstrom, it was because of his leadership and balanced play. But like I said, you get Brad Marchand, who has not really been up to his normal shenanigans. He's actually been putting more in the net and being a little bit of a pest here or there. I don't know about him there. I mean, a lot of times we know who the boss characters are. Let's see here. I mean, you know, Coil, who broke out here recently. Stepniak, Nordstrom, I said Chara, Peter Bergeron, David Backes, Krejci, Torrey Krug. You got McAvoy, who was the sensation in the last couple years. He's actually almost solidified himself as a must, you know, a top four defenseman on any team. Tuukka Rask, though, just insane. Just insane how good this guy is. He's played in every game. He is 12-5 this year. He's allowed only 32 goals. A goals against average of 1.84. Save percentage of 0.942. He's had two shutouts. I mean, Tuukka Rask has been just exceptional. Just exceptional. So Boston is that team, as though most Boston teams are. They're the seasoned veterans. They're the ones who you're either going to like them. I mean, you're either going to love them, basically. They're kind of like the Yankees at this point. They're that team you know that's always in those type of positions, and you're going to really love them, or you're going to against them. Well, if you're against them, here's your option. The St. Louis Blues. The Blues, who have come out of nowhere with a lot of people that if you don't follow the sport, you might not have heard of some of these. Talk about some just ridiculous talents. Gunnarsson, Maroon, who came out of nowhere. In fact, watching Maroon's kid in the crowd is fantastic. He's got an awesome kid. You got Shin. You got Jordan Schwartz, who has two hat tricks this postseason. That's two. Two in two different games. How ridiculous is that? You got Robert Thomas. I'd be confused with Rob Thomas. Although, they're both pretty smooth. You got Bomeister, Alex Steen, Bozak, Thorburn, Pietrangelo, Bertuzzo, Michael Delzato for all you Rangers fans. Perron's still on there, McKechern, Ryan O'Reilly, Tarasenko. And then you get into the guy who's played 19 games. He is 12-7. He's given up 46 goals, which is about 2.37 a game. A 914 save percentage. He has a shutout even. That would be Jordan Binnington. Who is Jordan Binnington? That's a good question. He is the rookie sensation who, once he got his opportunity to start, has not relinquished it. So, here's your options in the Stanley Cup. Your options. The seasoned veteran team in the Boston Bruins, the one that has got a lot more names you've probably heard of, good or bad. Okay. Once again, it's kind of like a Yankee-like effect. You're either going to really like them, love them, or you're going to want to be against them, one or the other. Or you get not really the young upstart, but you get the younger team of the not-so-established names in the St. Louis Blues. I'll let that sink in a second before I kind of weigh in. All right, now that you've let that sink in a little bit, I'll be honest. If this thing went seven games, wouldn't surprise me at all. Is it going to go seven games? I don't think so. I think six. And I've thought about this since the deciding game just the other day. To which I would say, as much as I want the St. Louis Blues to win, because I think it would be a cool story, I'm going to have to say I think the Boston Bruins are going to win this in six games. I see that it could go a lot of other different ways. But I also, I don't know, just Boston is just that team. When you run up on those teams, like I said, maybe it's the veteran leadership. Maybe it is the more established names. Of course, I've heard about it because I follow the sport. But even people who haven't, if I said, have you heard of Brad Marchand? They're like, oh, yeah, the guy who licks people. Yeah, he does more than that, but you heard of him. Zdeno Chara. People may go, well, I've heard the name. Bergeron. Yes, I've heard that name. Then if I get into the Tuukka Rask, they probably go, oh, yeah, he sounds like a goalie. You've heard of those guys. And I'm not just doing – like I said, I think St. Louis might be favored in this. I don't know. Boston probably is. I'm just not sure. But once again, if I have to pick, and I guess I technically have to, give me the Boston Bruins in six. I'm going to write it down right here. I'm going to say Boston in six. That's just where I'm at. Actually, see, we have a caller, so let's just see who it is. How are you doing, caller? Hello?
Yeah.
What's your name and where are you from? Maybe my headset's going out. Let's see if we can do this a different way. Maybe we can do it a different way. Yes. Caller, what's your name and where are you from?
Oh, okay. My name is Lou from New Jersey.
Oh, hey, Lou.
I was on. Well, I'll say one thing. If Rask can stay in this game, I think this is going to be an easy series for the Bruins.
Yeah, I definitely could see that. As much as I've, because a couple years back, through our board check stuff, we actually covered the Bruins. And because I used to think Tuukka Rask was, he was a mid-level, or he was a, bottom of the top third of the goalies. I was like, yeah, he's probably pretty good. He's probably not one of those top ones, but when you watch the way he's played the last few years, I mean, he's got to be in that conversation for potentially top five, maybe higher right now, because when it gets playoff time, he is just hard to beat.
Yeah. I mean, but this series is going to be strange because you got two teams that are going to be coming off long breaks. You know, Boston's coming off 10 days without without a game being played. St. Louis has been out for the last it'll be 5 to 6 days by the time we start Monday. So this doesn't look like it's going to be this. Who's got the advantage, do you think?
Right. Yeah, it's because the way it's played out, at least on the eastern side in the last two series, is whoever had the most time off got swept. Whoever was the hottest team and finished up their duty the round before so early, it was, the Islanders got swept by the Hurricanes, and then the Hurricanes get like half a week off, and they get ran over. They get ran over by Boston in this series, although I would have argued that the Hurricanes probably would have lost in five or six anyway, because I think Boston was a little better. But
yeah,
it just seems like whoever has the most time off. So at this point, like I said, I really think the Blues may be favored. I haven't seen the lines on it yet. But at the same time, I think you just have to go with the veterans. It's going to be so hard for the Blues to match up with what Boston's going to bring at them.
Yeah. Well, at least St. Louis isn't feeling blue right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm in a bind, though, because I got the one side. You got my girlfriend who's going for St. Louis, and my best friend going for Boston.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, I know the direction I would lean is, if I don't have a dog in the fight, I think the easiest way to do that is one of those is gonna basically based off the level of friendship, one of those is gonna be okay if you take the other side, and you more than likely see or live with the other one. So I think you know which side you should probably take.
Maybe I should leave the country for a little while.
Yeah, I hear Bermuda is nice this time of year.
I was thinking more of like Australia.
Oh, see, there you go. That it's probably nicer
the
there.
The further the better.
Yeah, and the way they space this thing out, it's not quite as ridiculous as the NBA, but the way the Stanley Cup games are going to be spaced out, you probably want to give yourself about 2 weeks before you come back.
Maybe longer.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah,
but
I read the schedule. You know, I posted the schedule up on my page.
Yeah. Yeah, because don't you also do a show?
Excuse me.
Don't you also do a show?
I do. How'd you know?
I thought I remembered you.
Oh, gee, I'm more famous than I thought. Ugh, how awful. Yeah, but I think Game 6 there might be a bit of a conflict. Because if it goes to Game 6, I think it's going to be the same night as the NBA final. And how stupid can you be?
Ooh.
They did that once before.
Yeah. Huh, Game 6. Which NBA final game would that be? Do you know?
Game, well, let's see. The finals start next Thursday.
Uh-huh.
Then Game 2 is the next Sunday. So,
I guess
Game 3 Wednesday. Well, I don't think the NBA schedule is out yet.
Okay.
But I do know that the first game is does start next Thursday.
Okay, yeah.
It won't collide the first week, but I think the second week it does collide.
Huh. Well, because I was just thinking that, you know, since we know that Golden State is on one side and it obviously doesn't matter how many stars they're missing, as long as they have the usual core nucleus there, I mean, there's a chance that if the Warriors kind of touch everybody up early, that then we may not have a conflict.
Well, I don't see, the Warriors walking over Toronto in this series if it happens to be that way, or no matter who they play. I don't see a four-game sweep here at all, especially, you know, still with KD out. I mean, it's one thing to get in this, but when you're going over in the final, I think it's a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I definitely, it's one of those, as a hockey fan, wishful thinking that they would kind of get out of the way so we could not worry about a conflict. But I think we've learned in this year's NBA playoffs that there are a couple teams that can potentially hang. I don't know that they can necessarily beat the Warriors quite yet, but there are some teams in the East and a couple in the West that are at least making it at least more than a one-team race at this point.
Yeah, I mean, not for nothing, but I knew that the Raptors series with the Bucks, that was not going to be easy for either team. I knew this was going to be competitive. And it was that Toronto was coming over back to their home turf. Oh, I saw the momentum swing right there.
Yep. And, you know, a lot of people in the media have said it, and I kind of agree with it as well. Those teams are so similar in the way they're kind of set up and the way they play that when you have a mirror game like that, a lot of times it comes down to the home field or the home court at that point.
Well, you know, I've always said that maybe sometimes that it's overrated, home court.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I necessarily believe in the home court advantage. Because I also think it could be a distraction as well.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, especially in Toronto where
home
you
cooking, you know.
You know, especially in Toronto where you're not sure who the next Drake massage is going to go to.
I'm not going there.
Yeah, because I could probably go on about a three-hour rant about that particular thing, but it has a lot
to
do with...
1 hour is fine. I don't like them. I don't know what the kids see in them anyway. I really don't.
Yeah, it seems like he's more worried about his brand away from the microphone than he is on a microphone. And, I mean, that's fine because, we've seen the whole family of Kardashians make a career out of that. But at the same time, is he a part of the team? Is he not a part of the team? And it goes back to my pro wrestling fandom is that there's an imaginary line, even if there's not an actual fence where the fans stay on one side of it and the competitors and athletes stay on the other. And when any time somebody crosses without, the rest of the fans don't know that he may be a part of the show, so to say. So if they're like, well, if he can walk up and do that, then I should be able to walk over there and do that. And it just creates this weird gray area to where, security is going to be involved and you got the actual health and wellness of the team involved there. Because now what's to say that some crazy person is not going to walk over there and try to hurt somebody?
Oof. Yeah, the Kardashians and Drake, they make a great couple, don't they?
I'm surprised. I mean, there's got to be a single one in the bunch right now anyway. I'm surprised he hasn't found one of them.
Give him time.
Yep. Next, Toronto trip, I bet he finds one.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. So let's see. I can put down my hit list. Or crap list, the case may be.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Kardashians, Drake, the geek boy from Jeopardy. Yeah, okay, that's it. Yeah, I wonder what he's betting on the game. That's all I want to know. What's he betting on this game?
Yeah, that's true. We should ask the Jeopardy guy which side he's on. That's probably the side we should pick.
Yeah. I don't know how they can consider sports betting a profession, though.
Yeah, because what was it? All the air quotes, since we're on the radio and people can't see it, air quotes, all the professional poker players that on their taxes never say they're a professional poker player, a professional gambler. They always make up some random, weird way to say it. So, I mean,
yeah.
The fact that he just comes out and says, oh, yeah, I wager on sports for a living, and everybody seems to be okay with it.
Yeah, but I don't know if I can call that a career.
Yeah. It's a glorified hobby, even though I guess if he's making money at it, it's a little more than a hobby, but I don't...
Or losing.
Yeah.
And
how much is he making since he's been on the show? I mean, is he still wagering on the side at this point, or did he kind of go through a dry spell so he decided to make money somewhere else?
Yeah. But his weird style of betting, and, I'll wager... 24,222, whatever that means. Like,
yeah.
I mean, the guy's a weirdo.
He's definitely a strange one.
You agree with me on that?
Yeah, because he called in to who had him on? It was either Dan or Colin had him on a couple weeks ago. It might have been Dan. And he had some okay answers, and then he had some other answers that were out there to where you could even get the vibe off of Dan and the Danettes that they're like, I'm not sure where to go with this conversation.
Yeah, you mean Dan Patrick, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw some of that interview.
Yeah, it was Dan. He was on. I was about to say, he was either on there or Colin Cowherd, one or the other. I think it was Dan Patrick.
If I had to pick my poison, I think I'd go with Dan Patrick. Cowherd, no.
But let's see, we got into some hockey there. If I, let's see, I'm trying to think what we talked about last time we had you on.
How long ago was that anyway?
Huh?
How long ago was that?
I seem like it was a couple months back, maybe.
Ah, okay.
It was a little bit, because I thought we redid some of the software here, so that's why I didn't recognize your number initially, but I thought I recognized part of the number as you'd called in before.
In a frantic search, I found you.
Yeah, because we, for the first time in many weeks, we actually went live about the same time we usually try to. It's just been kind of weird and hectic the way the NFL offseason is. We just been playing it by ear. But is there any of the other big sports things you want to get into before we let you back to your evening?
Well, I don't know how a team that is so banged up, like the Yankees, is actually still winning.
You know, I'm even as a longtime Yankee fan and Mets fan too, but that's a whole different story. But my mom got me into the Yankees years ago, so I've always had a vested interest in watching them do well. It just baffles me that a team with literally 2/3 of their stars on the bench because they can't play, most of them can't walk because of different injuries and stuff like that,
yeah,
and yet they continue to win with these people we've never heard of. It's the most non-Yankee thing ever. They basically have the Tampa Bay Devil or the Tampa Bay Rays roster, and they're winning with the
yeah.
rest of their normal roster on the bench.
Now, you know that home team sports announcer is usually to give a lot of enthusiasm when a home run is hit. Well, last night was a bit of a different story. The Yankees are playing the Baltimore Orioles. Sorry to say, my condolences to Baltimore Orioles fans. And Gary Thorne, the broadcaster for the Orioles, who used to broadcast the Mets, well, he wasn't so happy. I mean, because the Yankees, scored two home Torres scored two home runs off the Orioles, and Gary is always like, he didn't even want to be there. I'm like, oh, God, get me out of here.
Yeah.
I mean,
very Bob
Gary Thorne, like, this is not the Gary Thorne that I know.
Right.
I mean, it's like somebody like, put a flat tire in his car.
like Bob Uecker in Major League before they had the big turnaround in the story.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
well,
talk about being deflated, but he sounded very deflated.
Yeah.
Oh, he was like, oh, no. Well, all I can say is, hey, Gary Thorne, you want to come back to doing the Mets?
Yeah, I mean, who? Little did he know that. Gosh, I'm going to leave the Mets and go call the Orioles because that's got to be better. And then you get a season like they're currently having now, and you're like, I didn't think I could go worse.
Guess what, folks? It has.
Yeah, even though I always applaud the efforts, and I say it very snarkily, but even as a Mets homer that I am a lot of times, I always appreciate that the Mets and the organization respect their fans so much that they go ahead and collapse way before September so that you can get ready for football season. And it looks like they've already started.
Well, yeah. Well, I thought the Orioles season ended the day after spring training. Oh.
It might have.
I thought it did. Because generally that's how it's been for the last few years. I mean, I have colleagues in the Baltimore and D.C. area, and, I feel kind of bad for them.
Yeah, it's. I always tell people as somebody in the media and covering good and bad teams, I'm like, oh, it's easy to talk about somebody when they're winning, but when somebody continually just has the worst luck and continually loses game after game, and especially with Major League Baseball, where there are 4,000 games a year per team, it's
right.
It's got to be so hard to come up with something new to say every day, every week, just to go. You know what? Save yourself time. If you read last week's article, you're caught up.
Yeah. But, maybe someone should get Cal Ripken out of retirement. I think that's the only hope they have.
Yeah. Or see if somebody will swap beats with them or something like that. Because, I mean, I would typically say this time of year that between Baltimore and Miami that – I don't want to take the teams away from the fan bases because the fans deserve better than that. But it's almost like they're AAA teams. Tampa Bay used to be up until all of a sudden they realized they actually had talented people if they actually pay them. But, I mean, even at this juncture, I can't say anything about Miami because Miami just swept the Mets.
Who would have thought that?
Ugh. Yeah.
But then
the
Mets swept Washington.
Yeah. I mean,
but
it's just...
what? I'm not surprised that Washington's struggling this year because, I said if they lose Harper, they were going to be horrible the next season, and it's living up to that. So I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so.
Yep, I definitely agree.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else was I going to get into? Not much NFL-wise. The only real things that I saw NFL-wise, Reuben Foster tore his ACL, which it just sucks for the guy because he finally gets cleared from that weird crazy ex-girlfriend who made up all that stuff and almost got him kicked out again, and it looks like he's not going to play another down ever. And the Bucks decided that they wanted to see how if they could relive their really, really crappy days and get rid of Gerald McCoy for an older, goofier version in Ndamukong Suh, and they're saving about $2 million this year. So, you know, as I like to say, Tampa, enjoy fourth place again. And if you're the hometown Falcons here where we do the show, at least you're not going to be last.
And this all came from a boy named Sue. Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad. But, you know, they're also changing the times for the divisional playoff round next season as well. It's going to be a later start time.
For NBA?
No, NFL, the divisional playoff round.
Start later. Okay.
I don't know if it's a good move or a bad move.
Yeah, because we're over here on the East Coast. So, I famously said last week, as much as I enjoy watching all the NHL games, those West Coast ones make sure that I get very minimal sleep almost every night, even the ones that I watch most of and then watch the rest of the next morning before I head out. And
let
it's
me
just,
tell you something. During playoff time with the National Hockey League, I don't get any sleep at all.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
I mean, you would not believe some of the games I've seen and how long they have gone. Ugh.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen games that have gone three overtimes. I've seen games that have gone four. I think some of them hit the five.
Yep.
And I'm like, ugh. Nerve-wracking.
Well, and see, that's the thing with the NHL is even games that look like they're out of hand early, you know, let's say the Sharks put five goals up in the first period. In almost every sport, you would go, this is not worth watching. Let's flip around. Let's go to bed early. Let's, you know, go get some nachos. It's like, no, you can't do that because in the second period, whoever their opponent is might score five or six themselves. They might end up tying in the third as well and going, like you said, in a four, five, six overtime. So the NHL is always that sport where you just can't turn it off because you never know what's about to happen.
No, you don't. And I've seen plenty of times where I've had to miss the final goal for some one reason or another. Like, oh, great, you couldn't wait 30 more seconds?
Yeah.
But
yep.
Yeah,
even with the magic of DVRs, being able to rewind, not being able to see it live is rough sometimes.
No, you gotta see it live.
Yep, as much as possible.
DVR, I mean, because you're just cheating yourself.
Yeah. I tell people even here locally because the best we got, there's a lot of adult hockey leagues and there's some obviously the little kid leagues and stuff like that. We got AA with the Atlanta Gladiators. They are a Bruins affiliate up until the Bruins win the cup, and then they turn into Predators next year. But I was like, no, it's still live hockey. It's still professional hockey. If you're new to the sport or you think you might want to get into it, go see a game live, and I promise you, you're going to be hooked because that live, something about live hockey that just hooks you. And then after that, we'll work on if you can, you know, sit through a game on TV.
So, I'm sure you're not happy that you don't have a team anymore. You know, I mean, Atlanta lost twice.
I mean, and technically, if we count the Atlanta Knights AA squad, which was around when I was a kid, technically three times, and all three of them moved to Canada.
Atlanta Flames. They left in 1980. You had the Atlanta Thrashers, but where did the other team move to?
Who, the Knights?
The Knights, yes.
I thought somewhere in Ontario. The weird thing is, in a weird twist of events, they moved there and like two or three later went defunct. And I was like, well, that's interesting. It lasted here for a good, like a decade or better, and then went to Canada and died.
That's even more bizarre that it folded when they went to Canada, because Canada is more hockey crazy than we are.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep, that was a weird thing about it though, but that's why here locally, especially on our board check show, even though this is the giant conglomerate one, we talk a lot of Hurricanes this year. We're adding the Predators back next year, and that's the two local teams, and they're at least entertaining, if not usually pretty good. You know, all of a sudden, it looks like the Hurricanes are going to be good for a while. Looks like the Predators are still going to be around too. So at least in this area, we still have good hockey to watch.
I wish I could say the same for my area right now. We have the hockey teams, but they're not doing great at all.
Yeah, because let's see, what area are you in?
The New York metropolitan area in New Jersey.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, as the Rangers are the team that got me into hockey, so I will always have a soft spot for them. This year, apparently, they had a lot of soft spots as well. But, I mean, outside, if you want to claim the Islanders as part of the group up there, they surprised everybody when
not.
They went on the run.
They are, but I'd rather not.
I totally understand that. Because even though as good as they did, I looked and I was like, as somebody who started with the Rangers, I'll just say good for them. I can't come out and just be excited about that.
No. Because, you know, if you're a Rangers fan, you know, then you know how you feel about the Islanders, and if it's Islanders, vice versa.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I explained to people. I was like, baseball, even though I'm Yankees and Mets, I was like, once I explained it to people, especially being a Mets fan, they kind of excuse that anyway. They're like, that's fine. But I was like, after that, you have to choose a New York team. You can't play middle of the field up there. You pick one or the other.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. So anyway, yes, I do have a show on Saturday nights, 6 to 8 p.m.
That's right. And, right, are you on Blog Talk Radio?
No, I'm not on Blog Talk
Radio. Okay.
I was, but I got changed over to another service.
Okay.
Yeah, we left Blog Talk in late August and formed a new network in September.
Okay. Well, before we let you back to your evening, Lou, if you want to go ahead and tell people how they can listen to your show, the floor is yours.
Certainly. All right. If you want to listen to me, you can catch me on Spreaker like a few hours or a few days after the live show airs. So just look for On the Enhanced Sports Show. That's the name of the show. If you want to call in live, please do. It's on Saturday nights, 6 to 8 p.m. in the East, 3 to 5 out West. The number is 712-775-7035. The PIN number, 410173, followed by the pound sign. And you must press the pound sign, otherwise you don't get squat.
And there you go. I got friends on Spreaker, too. I got friends here at Blog Talk Radio. So I always tell people, whatever works for you is what you should go with. So that's always a good thing.
I've lasted this long, so yeah.
But, Lou, it has been fantastic talking to you again. And as I believe I said before, and if not, I'll say it again this time. Don't lose our number. Look forward to talking to you again in the future.
I forgot your name.
Jeremy.
Jeremy, right. Okay. Hopefully we'll talk again next week.
Definitely so.
All right.
Maybe
thanks.
So. But. And that was Lou, everybody. He is up in the greater New York area. He's called in a handful of times before. You know, he is like Naj and some other ones, one of our regular callers. He does his show, the Enhanced Sports Show. I don't have a problem plugging that because Lou's a good guy. But it's fantastic you got to call in like that. We talk some good stuff. And I like that we skip around like that, you know. Let's see. Since we talked... We got into some of the NFL stuff, the terrible stuff about Reuben Foster, the Buccaneers with McCoy and Sue. I got to echo this. I think one over the other, but Pittsburgh, watch out for them. They're a buzzsaw this year in the NFL. We're talking about the Steelers. And also, did you guys hear Aaron Rodgers at his press conference? He went all Game of Thrones finale in it. You know, he was in Game of Thrones. He was in the next to last episode. He was actually an archer on the wall. For those who haven't seen it, I'm not going to tell you good or bad, what may or may not have happened there. Apparently, he was a pretty good archer. He had a good time. But, no. If you listen to him, this is the Aaron Rodgers that we love to see. We just don't see it enough. And it's not his fault because sometimes he's dealing with stuff. Sometimes his team's not performing to the level we think they should. But in this case, he was so laid back, so just free in the wind, just free, no care in the world. Look out. Because, you know, everybody's giving odds to this and that as far as Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady and these guys. Even Big Ben would be an outside as far as an MVP candidate. No, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is going to light the league on fire. I know what you're going to say. Oh, but Mitch Trubisky's him and the Bears, they can beat the Pack. No, they might beat them during the regular season. They're not beating them for the division. Are you kidding me? Oh, well, Matt Patricia, he's gonna have Matt Stafford and those guys ready to go. Detroit, the Lions? No. So no Bears. Bears are gonna be good, but they're not gonna be as good as the Packers. Lions? No. Let's see. I feel bad. I can't think of the other team in their division. It is Gosh, what is the other team in their division? Someone want to help me out on the thing? Nope. You got facing two. Let's see. It is. Here we go. There we go. Vikings. Gosh, I'll tell you right now. Here's how that division is going to go. Lions are going to be fourth. The Vikings are going to be third. Bears are going to be second. And about two or three games better than the Bears are going to be the Green Bay Packers. Mark it right now. This is what? On the 23rd of May, 2019, I, Jeremy the Impact York, on my flagship show, on Sports Club Board Check main event show. I'm telling you right now, the Green Bay Packers. They're going to at least make it to the NFC championship. At least. Outside of a major injury, I will throw that in. But even then, I'll own up to it. Somebody want to come at me? Somebody want to come up with a fun wager? I'm here. Come on. You know how to find me on Facebook, on Twitter. Love to hear your ideas. I absolutely stand by the fact. And hey, remember, I'm a Cowboys fan. But the Packers are going to be better than the Cowboys. Mark it right now. That is absolutely going to happen. Watch out for Aaron Rodgers, MVP candidate. Watch out for the Green Bay Packers. They're probably going to the NFC championship game at least. Put it on the board. Shift gears real quick. I want to go back to the NBA. Then I'll finish up with some news and a little bit of news and notes, college basketball, some golf, and Atlanta United. Two things. NBA playoffs we talked about a little bit with Lou, who was on. I want to thank him again for being on. And, you know, the Warriors are awaiting the winner of Toronto and Milwaukee. Honestly, I think it might be Toronto. It's going to go six or seven games there. It's going to be back and forth because they seriously are mirror teams. Go look at them. They play the same. They're set up the same. The only difference is one's in Wisconsin and the other one's in Ontario. Oh, and Drake is on the sideline for one. God, who would it be in Milwaukee? I would say Laverne and Shirley, but, you know, one of them recently passed and hate that. But as far as playoffs, I don't think it matters. I think the Warriors are going to probably win in five games against either one of those because they're going to be beat up. They're going to be tired. It's not going to be lack of talent. Five or six games, the Warriors probably will take that. And we'll talk more about it. I'm not just doing this as a throwaway topic. But the other big thing is still a big thing. It's because LeBron's hurt and he's not going anywhere. KD's hurt, but where will KD go? I heard one of the smartest takes. I don't think he's going to go to a losing team. Why would he do that? He's wasting prime years if he does that. So would he go to the Knicks? I don't think so. Because where he goes, Kawhi Leonard's probably going to. So would he bring them to the Knicks? No. The Nets. The Nets are intriguing. I like that potential, but no. Of all the random places I've heard that he could go, the two places, I think it's down to two places. I think he could stay with the Warriors, what I would do, or he could go to the Clippers. That's intriguing because Doc Rivers is a all-world coach. He's coached a winner before. He's coached a champion before. If you let KD and Kawhi come into that team, oh, wow. It's basically the team they tried to set up with Blake and some of the other guys, and they didn't mesh well enough. So where do I think Kevin Durant's going to go? If he doesn't stay with the Warriors, I think he's staying in the state. I think he's going to the Clippers. He's not going to the Lakers because it's a mess. And he's not going to the same place LeBron. It's not going to happen. So where I think KD's going to go, honestly, I think he stays with the Warriors. But if he doesn't, look out for the Clippers. Brooks Koepka won his second straight PGA championship. He actually ran over the rest of the field, including Tiger Woods, who didn't even make the cut. Not a big shocker. Brooks Koepka, who everybody thinks is this bland, boring guy, actually he's normal. It just he's not the character that a Tiger Woods or a Rory McIlroy is or a Ricky Fowler. He doesn't wear crazy belts. He doesn't have a big accent. He just goes out and crushes people in the PGA Championship. He wins other tournaments too. Instead of looking for the next great all-time player, enjoy the one you have. Jordan Spieth had a good run. Now Koepka's on a good run. Enjoy the people you have, man. Congrats to Brooks Koepka on that big win. He's got many more in his future. He's actually won four of the last eight. So in the last 2 years, he's won four majors. Forget if he's going to go to an all-time, if he's going to catch Tiger, if he's going to catch Jack, if he's going to catch Barney. Who cares about that right now? He's not close enough for it to matter. Enjoy the fact that he's won half in the last 2 years, half of them. That's just, it's unbelievable and just crazy. Just good for him. Hats off to him. Men's basketball in college. Juwan Howard has been named the University of Michigan coach. You know, their coach left for Cleveland. Okay. Juwan gets a 5-year deal. The last time Juwan was on the court for the University of Michigan, he was part of the Fab Five with Jalen Rose and Chris Webber and the other guys. I actually like this. Juwan needs to get somewhere. I mean, why not his alma mater here? He's going to build up his coaching repertoire. He's going to continue the success that his predecessor did at Michigan. And then he's going to be an NBA coach in probably 5 or 6 years. And I think Juwan's going to be a really good coach. So hats off to them for making this move, and hats off to him for taking it. Now, Atlanta United. Talk to Atlanta United real quick. They took on the New York Red Bulls. You know, I should have asked Lou about this. Forgot about it. Some notes real quick from the game. I did watch the game. Obviously, I watch all those games. Atlanta not able to complete a lot of chances early. You had Tim Parker for the Red Bulls. Got the red card for denying Joseph Martinez goal opportunity. All right, red card. All right. Everybody said, well, if it would have been Atlanta United, you'd feel differently. No. The rule is the rule. It's just like in the NBA, there are certain words. In baseball, there are certain words. In hockey, there are certain words. If you use certain words, there are automatic ejections. There are automatic penalties for certain things, actions that you do. In MLS, I don't care who you are. If you are pulling and tugging and kind of tangled up the way you are and pull somebody down while they were trying to score a goal, you're not just supposed to get out of the way and let them score a goal. No, he was trying to play defense the best he could. And at that point, the way he grabbed and twisted Joe Mara around, that's considered a red card. Do we not remember last summer when Brad Guzan, same thing. when Brad got the red card and we had to substitute a goalie who had been on the team for 3 days into the game for doing the same thing. When he ran up and kind of did a diving slide tackle to take on the he went for the ball, but he also took out the guy trying to score as well. And it's the same thing here. The way he denied it and the way Tim Parker denied it, same thing. So red card happened. They're playing 10 with only 10 men. That was in like the 35th minute. So they played, about a third of the game with him, the other two-thirds without. It seemed to energize the Red Bulls because from there on out, they just sat back. And when they saw that Atlanta was on their heels a little bit, took a few chances. Ultimately, guy out of college, Tom Barlow, kid that gets some easy work into the game here. That's the easy work. He gets a chance to get some minutes. And he gets his first MLS goal of his career. Had a great just head tapper. I think it was Royer. Popped one from the right side of the field. Popped it right towards him. I think it was more of a defensive tactic for him to hit the ball the way he did. I think he was trying to just bring it across so somebody else could knock it in. In the process, Guzan tries to play the ball. It's tapped. It rolls right past him into the backside of the net. Great goal. I'm not going to take away from that at all. Barlow's goal, fantastic. And as much as it went against the team I was pulling for, it's perfectly okay. I will take it. Just frustration a little bit later on led to the Escobar yellow card in the 83rd minute. He just got frustrated. He made some motions and said a few things to the ref, and the ref gave him yellow card. Same reason why Tim Parker got the other one. It's just when you say certain things or you make certain actions, you get the penalties. And then by the end, Tito Villalba and Lawrence kind of get tangled up. Lawrence had been jawing at him the entire game. Villalba is one to jaw back. They kind of get tangled a little bit. Shoving match ensues. Not more was done about it. There's been no penalties handed out to this juncture that I know of, no suspensions or nothing like that. But just know, in my opinion, Lawrence was acting like a jerk because it was a 50-50 ball, and after they got tangled up, and Villalba seemed to tweak his leg a little. I'm not saying he necessarily did it on purpose or nothing, but Lawrence then stood over him and barked at him. That should have been a yellow card. And then, to me, Villalba should have got one after the fact because of his actions. But eventually cooler heads prevailed. Nothing really bad happened, but outside of Atlanta United losing the game. But they've been on a heck of a run. They're still up in the top of the – towards the top of the table. I have no issue whatsoever. Their upcoming game, of course, will be tomorrow night in Salt Lake against Real Salt Lake. That is a 9 p.m. Eastern time start. I have no idea what channel it's going to be on. I potentially could be on the road at that point. But I will be listening to probably the 92.9 The Game app or some sort of way to listen to it. Plus, I'll watch the game once I get back. But I'm not worried about Atlanta United whatsoever. And, in fact, they will also play at home versus Minnesota at 7 p.m. on Wednesday before we talk again on here. So I really think the Real Salt Lake game is going to be real tight. I will say 2-1 with Villalba and probably Jomar. We'll go there. And then against Minnesota, I'm going to go 3-0. I'm going to say Jomar, LGP, and give me Pereira. I'm really digging these new guys, Miriam, Pereira. Really, you know, we're about to lose some people because of the international breaks coming up. We're about to lose some people here and there. Guzan, potentially. Everybody's going to go play international games, but I have no problem with the way the team is set up. And, you know, maybe we'll get one of the soccer down here guys on soon. I know I keep saying that. Get one of them on soon to talk about the way things are going and what they're seeing as opposed to what we're seeing. But beyond that, I think that's going to do it for us this week. Once again, shout out to Lou up in the greater metropolitan area of New York for calling in, adding a lot of great stuff to the show. He's a great guest. Check out his show. Obviously, he gave you the information on how to do that. And, what I'm digging lately. To elaborate a little bit on what I said, What I'm digging lately? Well, I'm digging the drummer from No Doubt, and he's also in a he's also in another band now. But Adrian Young, the drummer from No Doubt, he is, like I said, he is clearly as talented as Travis Barker. He is clearly as talented as Chad Smith. For people who don't know, Travis is with Blink-182 and others. Chad Smith is Red Hot Chili Peppers. But Adrian is a fantastic goalie. In fact, whether it's Tragic Kingdom, whether it's Return of Saturn, any of those, definitely go check out the things that Adrian has been doing. And he is also Dream Car. Dream Car is the other band he is currently in now. It's a new wave supergroup, if you want to call it that. But it is Tony Kanal, Tom Dumont, and Adrian Young from No Doubt. And it is Davey Havoc from AFI. And they're fantastic. You should definitely listen to them. But definitely digging the amazing things that Adrian's been doing lately. And you should go check out his drumming as well. For those who didn't know, I'm a drummer as well. I hadn't been able to play a lot in recent years. But yeah, I've been drumming since sixth grade or so. Always on the lookout for really cool music and really cool people to follow. I think Adrian Young is definitely the one you should be checking out right now. But as I said, that's going to do it. Thanks for tuning in right here on Blog Talk Radio for Sports Club Board Check Main Event. See you guys next week. This is Gooses. Yeah. Make a bag, get up. Hey, big girl. Make a bag, get up. Yeah. Make a bag, get up. Get up. Girl, wobble it, and I'm a... Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?